In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Last Sunday, we celebrated the feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord on August 6th. And that, as you recall, is when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up a high mountain. And on that mountain, he revealed his divine glory before them. And we read this in Matthew chapter 17 and elsewhere. So this unique and wonderful event that occurred is one of but many events where God chose a mountain as the location of divine revelation to his people, to his creation. The appearance of Moses and Elijah, as we read, with the transfigured Jesus on Mount Tabor, also causes us to recall that Moses encountered God and received the law on Mount Sinai. We read this in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. In addition, we recall Elijah's defeat of the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. We hear about this in 1 Kings chapter 18. Before the transfiguration, Jesus used a mountain to give one of his most lengthy, detailed sermons. And it is what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 5 of Matthew, we read this. However, in today's gospel, from the 10th Sunday of Matthew, which interestingly occurs right after the event of the Transfiguration, Jesus speaks of a mountain in much different terms. You see, as we heard, after Jesus cast out the demon of the epileptic boy, the disciples asked Jesus why they could not cast it out. And Jesus replied to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So here, Jesus implies that a mountain can be an obstacle of sorts. Unlike the events where he revealed his divinity or he revealed his power in the Old Testament events on the mountain, here he implies that a mountain can be an obstacle. So anyone who's done hiking or who's driven through the mountains knows that they can be barriers getting from one point to another. Some of the patristic commentators on this passage picked up on this point when they offered commentary in the early centuries of the church. Origen says that mountains are the hostile powers that have their being in a flood of great wickedness that have settled in the souls of various people. Hilarion intimates that the mountains are the burden of sins and the heavy mass of our unbelief. So while we often think of a mountain as an external barrier or obstacle, we should also understand that often it can be internal to us, such as the mountain, if you will, of a personality trait, or of a habit of character, or a passion, as we know them, which is an inclination towards sinful thoughts, words, or behaviors, a passion. St. Augustine furthers the point when he comments on this passage, and he said, "If one can pray so that one may cast out another demon, how much more should one pray that one's own demons be cast out?" Now, if we have done some serious reflection on our own spiritual life, our experience will tell us that it's virtually impossible to change other people. Try as we may, it's virtually impossible to do this. And it's even very difficult to change ourselves. However, any change in the world around us must always begin with change in ourselves first. The patristic quotation from St. John Cassian builds on this point. He said, "If you want to correct your brother when he is doing wrong, you must keep yourself calm. Otherwise, you yourself may catch the sickness you are seeking to cure. And you may find that the words of the gospel now apply to you. Why do you look at the speck of dust in your brother's eyes and not notice the plank or the rafter in your own eye? The speck reference is a quotation of Jesus' words from Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5. Let me recite the whole passage to you. Judge not, that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. At the end of the passage that we heard today, Jesus says that the demon of the epileptic boy can only come out by prayer and fasting. Well, we've heard this before. Jesus points out that the disciples in faith and fasting when he says, because of your unbelief. And earlier in the passage, he says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear you? As the interpreters and those who've commented on this passage have said, the essential tools of personal change are prayer and fasting. Now here's how they work. Prayer is the sincere and fervent seeking of the one true God in order to discover His will, do His will. It's not simply a dialogue with God, but it is opening up the heart of our heart and mind to the transforming power and presence of God. You see, this is what, in the connection of last week at the Transfiguration, that God was revealing in His Son, Jesus Christ. The transforming power and the presence of God in His Son, our Lord and Savior. In other words, only God can change us. And only if we let Him. True fasting goes hand in hand with prayer. It is the denial of physical hunger in order to help bring under discipline our other appetites, our other passions, to prevent them from becoming out of control passions. God cannot change us if our life is being dominated by passions. An example is someone who suffers from addiction. The addict who must quit at once from their use of alcohol or drugs in order to stop the destructive cycle of abuse. However, this is just the first step. The second step is to begin to understand what personal appetites and internal dynamics that drive and fuel this addiction. The second step cannot begin until the first step is completed. One must stop and then recognize and then change. Once our own life is in order, then we can help others to change. Yet it is not through controlling words and actions that change occurs. It is, as Jesus reminded His disciples, through prayer and fasting, that change in others is effective. Origen, again, commenting on today's passage, says, we pray for the sufferer, and by our own fasting, we may thrust out the unclean spirit from him. Saint Seraphim of Sarov says, save yourself first, and 1,000 others will be saved by it. Let us hear again from the words of our Lord, but this time from the Gospel of Mark chapter 11, when He said, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And whoever does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, If you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, moving internal mountains may be one of the most difficult, challenging, hardest, time-consuming, if you will, things that we will ever do. But the words of our Lord are encouraging to us, because it only takes a little faith and trust in God in order to let Him make that change, in order to let Him move that mountain in our lives. Amen.